Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain to pray, and by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. There's a funny cartoon I saw on Facebook. It's entitled, "Young Jesus at Bath Time." Have any of you seen that one? Mary, you see Mary, and you know it's Mary. I don't know how, you just know it's Mary. She's kneeling next to a bathtub with a stern look on her face, and she's saying, "In!" as Jesus is standing on top of the bathwater. I thought it was funny, too. All right. Well, I can't read that story, that gospel lesson of Jesus and walking on water, the storm, pulling Peter out of the water without thinking of the congregation where I did my internship in East Boston, Massachusetts, about 22 years ago, Our Savior's Lutheran Church. In the front of Our Savior's sanctuary is a mural of that moment. I'll go ahead and pass along the picture so you can see the mural. You see Jesus standing on the water, pulling Peter out, and then back in the background, you see the disciples in the boat looking frightened, and the boat looks suspiciously like a Norwegian vessel. And that's intentional, because Our Savior's was built as an old Norwegian seaman's mission. Yet, as many urban areas do, East Boston is a very urban area, the neighborhood and the church went through many changes. And over the years and decades, most of the Norwegians moved out of East Boston and moved into the suburbs, leaving East Boston and Our Savior's to slowly decline. In the 1980s, the church dwindled down to about a dozen active church members. They knew, because of their small size, that there was a lot that they couldn't do, and that the chance of their survival was quite slim. Yet they also knew that they had to keep reaching out, because if they were going to die, at least they were going to die trying to give life to something and do something significant. So they decided to sponsor and resettle a Southeast Asian family. Ming Lan and her son were the first Cambodian family that Our Savior's sponsored. Ming Lan lost her husband and 5 of her 6 children during the war in Cambodia. As I got to know Ming Lan, there are many things that she told me, and then there were many things that she wouldn't tell me, because she said, "No one needs to hear about those things, let alone experience them." Ming Lan and her son escaped Cambodia on a makeshift boat. It was adrift for several days, and pretty soon they ran out of food and fresh water. Early one morning, a sudden storm came up and capsized the crude little boat that they were in. Just as she thought that they were going to drown, a sympathetic fishing boat came by and gathered them together and took them to a refugee camp where they were until Our Savior sponsored them to come to the United States. about arriving in our country for the first time, Ming Lan says, "When I arrive in the airport, I was so scared, very scared. I don't think I have a sponsor. I don't know my sponsor. Some people don't have a sponsor. They are left at the airport information desk with no food, no bed. But when I saw the church people, I was so glad. When I went to the church the first time, I was very glad and excited and almost crying because I am looking to the God. I saw the picture of the God in the church. He picked the people out of the water. I am thinking about my life. I am very excited. I'm crying. I'm thinking, oh my God, I believe in God." We have a God, a Christ, Jesus, our Savior, who picks people up out of the water. And he sends us out to use our hands to do the very same thing. You know, Jesus told his disciples, after he had fed the 5,000, after that great miracle, to get into the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, where he stayed back and he dismissed the great crowds. And then he went up to the mountain to pray. Now, the disciples knew the significance of their journey. They were leaving the comfort and familiarity of their Jewish heritage to go on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which was Samaritan territory, Gentile territory. I imagine that there were probably some protests among the group, at the very least some questions as to why. What do you remember about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles? What do you remember? What do you know? Say it loud. What do you know? How were those relationships? That is a very nice way to say it. Yes, they did not like each other. Actually, they were enemies. They despised each other. They judged one another harshly. They lived completely separate lives. They drank from separate wells. They worshipped in separate temples. They lived in separate neighborhoods and cities. They had to have a lake, a sea in between them. They went to great lengths to avoid each other. As I thought about Jesus sending his disciples across the sea, I thought, you know, isn't that the problem with Jesus? He's always challenging us to leave our comfort zones, sending us to places that we might rather not go, stretching us, always stretching us. Stretching us in our understanding about faith and grace and just who our neighbors are, about who God's children are, about what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves, what it means to be the church. And unfortunately, probably like the disciples didn't completely agree, neither does the church always agree on what it means to be the church today. Being the church and living as the people of God in our world today is not an easy task. We often ask that question, what would Jesus do? How can we be faithful? According to our gospel today, Jesus sends us out and picks people up out of the water. He comes to us and he's with us, especially when we feel afraid. Especially when things get stormy. I found a very interesting and intriguing insight about all this on the Sundays and Seasons website. That's a worship resource for pastors put out by the Lutheran Church. I hadn't even thought about the gospel in this way before. It says, "Much sermonic attention is given to Peter's attempted stroll out in the turbid waters. We try to analyze or psychologize why Peter sank. Was it lack of faith in God? Did he take his eyes off Jesus? Did he have insufficient trust? Or did he succumb to his fear of the windstorm? We only know one thing for certain. Peter sank because he left the boat. If he had stayed in the boat among the community of believers, he would not have sunk. When we, like Peter, leave the community of the faithful, as represented by the boat, our odds of sinking increase exponentially. Perhaps a message for this Sunday is, stay in the boat, remain in community, rely on one another, worship together, strengthened by the presence of Christ. Interesting. As a church, I think it's really important for us to remember that. To remember that we have a common mission. We might not always completely agree on how to live that mission out, but we have a common mission. We are in the same boat. Quite literally this morning, we are in the same boat. This section of the church is called the nave. It comes from a Latin word, navis, which means boat. And if you look at our building, I mean, it kind of looks like the hull of a ship. Upside down, right? Jesus kind of does turn us upside down, doesn't he? I know. The church is a ship that was not ever intended to stay tied to a dock. We are not a houseboat. We're meant to set sail as a crew of people working together, to move forward in faith. Because together we can withstand winds and waves and weather storms to cross over to the other side and to reach out to all God's children with love and compassion. And if we fail, we find ourselves sinking, we have a God, a Christ, our Savior, who picks sinking people out of the water. We have a God who uses our hands to reach out. Today, this God picked sweet little Evelyn out of the water. Evelyn is very little. 10 months old? Is that right? 10 months old. She has a lot of life to live. Yet we know that no matter what, no matter what happens in her life, that the hand of God is always reaching out to her. Reaching out, offering hope, forgiveness, love, joy, and grace. No matter what. This is God's promise. This is God's promise to her. This is God's promise to us. And what a beautiful thing that Evelyn, during her baptism, put her hand in the water too. She already knows her mission is to reach out in love and forgiveness and kindness. The loving hand of God reaches out to each and every one of us over and over and over and over again. This is God's promise to us. I am with you always. And then we live as that body of Christ when we do what Evelyn did, when we reach out with love and kindness. Because this is what it means to be the body of Christ today. To reach out in love. To set sail in unfamiliar and maybe even uncomfortable territory. To reach out to people who are drowning in those stormy waters of life. This is our baptismal calling. This is who we are as the people of God. This is who we are as the body of Christ. Amen.